Boy, that's the first time the church got done hugging me before I did, so. You know, Scripture tells us that we can defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And today we have somebody who wants to share her personal testimony as it relates to a word that God has given her and how God has worked in her life. So with that, I'd like to ask Linda Hill to come up as she shares with us. Linda?
I moved up to the Copper Country in 1999 because of a guy, Denny. For 10 years, we had an on and off again relationship. And it was in December of 2009 that we had an off-again relationship. And I came to the conclusion that enough was enough. But I had always taken him back. It wasn't until February of 2010 that God came into my life. And I was able to open up my heart and go through a walk and a journey with God, with Christ, with Grace Christian Fellowship, with Ginger, Pastor Merle, and a lot of you here. And it was August that Denny passed away. And August 1st he passed away, and then it was August 8th that I had my baptism. And I came to the realization that Denny is never coming back into my life. And what do I do now? And it's been a process for me. I just came back from a two-week vacation. I was down in Ohio at my mom's, helping her go through her stuff, weeding some things out. And I had a lot of questions from family and friends saying, what are you going to do now, Linda? What are your plans? Are you going to stay up there? Why are you up there? Have you met anybody? Are you putting yourself out there? What are you going to do about your business? What are you going to do about your house? Come back to Ohio. And these are all questions that I had, but never really needed to face them with anybody else in my family. And I didn't know how to answer any of their questions because I don't know how to answer those questions. So, in helping my mom get rid of a lot of her stuff, for the past 5 to 6 years, I kept on asking my mom if I could have an old telephone table and chair that used to be my grandma's. And my mom would say, not yet, not yet, not yet. So when I was down there, the last day that I was there, I asked my mom, I said, can I have that telephone table and chair? And she said, yes. But you have to help me clean it off. And there were stacks of old cookbooks and recipe papers, and I helped her go through everything. And this was waiting for me, and I'd like to share it with you. Everyone wants to give themselves completely to someone, to have a deep, lasting relationship with another, to be loved thoroughly and exclusively. But God says no, not until you are satisfied, fulfilled, and content with being loved by me alone, to have an intensely personal and unique relationship with me. Discovering that only in me is your satisfaction to be found, and through me alone will you be capable of the perfect human relationship that I have planned for you. You will never be completely united with another until you are willing to be united with me, exclusive of anyone or anything else, exclusive of any other desire or longing. I want you to stop planning, stop wishing, and allow me to give you the most thrilling plan existing beyond your wildest dreams. You see, I want you to have the best. Please allow me to bring this to you. You just keep watching me, expecting the greatest things. Keep experiencing the satisfaction that I am. Keep listening and learning the things I promise and mean. Be patient. That is all. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't look around in envy or jealousy and lust after all the things others have gotten or I have given them. Don't look at the people, places, and things you think you want or you think will save you. Do not search outside yourself. You just keep looking inward and upward to me, or you'll miss what I want to show you. And then when you're ready, I will surprise you with a love far more wonderful than any you would dream of. You see, until you are ready, and the one I have for you is ready, you will not be satisfied. I am working even at this moment to have both of you ready at the same time. Who knows, you may already be together and are unaware of the beauty you have at your fingertips. Until you both are satisfied with me and the life I want you to experience, you will not be able to experience the love that exemplifies your relationships with me, a perfect love. And dear one, I want you to have this most wonderful love. I want you to see in the flesh a picture of your relationship with me, to enjoy perfection and love that only I offer. Know that I love you utterly and unconditionally. I am God Almighty. Believe it, surrender to it, and be satisfied. So that was waiting for me, and God wanted me to have it now. And I love him. Thank you.
Who says that God doesn't talk to us in a very special, intimate way? Right, church? We might not hear that audible voice, but every time you look around, there's a neon line, a neon light flashing. We're just open to hear from him in various ways. I remember when I was a kid, I was fascinated with rings, any type of rings, especially decoder rings. Anybody here remember decoder rings? Decoder rings? I guess us old fellows do. But I remember the Captain Midnight membership kit that came with a decoder ring. I'm not sure whether it was through Ovaltine, like Ralphie from the Christmas Story. Anybody remember Ralphie getting that Ovaltine? He finally solves the mystery, and what did it say? Eat more old. But in any respect, we all wanted one of those rings because we had the ability to decode special messages that were on the box. And you found that if you move the dial, like a symbol would be A and some other symbol would be B. If you move the dial, you could decode the mystery that's on the box of the cereal that it was in. Back then, it wasn't unusual to find rings in a box, especially boxes of cereal. But what I liked the most, and something that was really appealed to me, was sometimes you would find a signet ring in a box of Cracker Jacks. Now, does anybody here remember signet rings? Oh, man, there's only a few of us old folks here. But anyways, they were fun. They were fun because much like the secret society of the decoder ring, the signet ring set you apart because a ring allowed you to make impressions on everything. You dip it in ink with an ink pad and you put impressions on your notebook and on other people's notebooks and on different things, including maybe furniture or people's arms and hands. And the ring could have been a coat of arms signifying royalty, or it could have been a skull and crossbones signifying a pirate was there, present with stamps everywhere, Or I even saw a Cracker Jack one that had a horse and a horseshoe signifying luck. We had fun with the rings because we could leave our own mark. Every time we left a mark, someone would say, Merle was here. And it was unique. These were unique to us. We left our mark in a lot of places, much to the chagrin of Mom and Dad, because some of the places we left our mark. But only we who had these rings could identify ourselves with the impressions that we made with a royal crest of the kingdom. And it was really neat to be able to leave your impression in different areas. At least to us. It wasn't so much to our parents who had to sometimes rub it off our arms. But the point is, did you ever think that God could use you as a signet ring? That you could carry his authority and power and leave a lasting impression on others for him? Did you ever think that? Well, we're going to cover this issue today as we conclude our four-part series, Time to Build the House of the Lord, with part four, entitled With This Ring. And our scripture reading comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 20-23. So let's go to those passages. Again, the book of Haggai. If you don't have a Bible, grab a pew Bible. It's on page 668. Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. Haggai 2, verses 20 to 23. But before we do that, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I want to make an impression in this world. Why don't you do that? I want to make an impression in this world. Let's go to these verses. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so amazed at the way that you communicate to us. Whether it's in a sign or whether it's in a letter that's stuffed away. We're so excited to know that you are our Almighty God, our Almighty Lord. Today, Lord, in this quietness of this sanctuary, we ask that your presence be felt and known by everybody seated here today. I think more than anything, Lord, we ask that you reveal your word to us. As we study it, Lord, teach us how your word applies to our lives. Talk to us through this scripture. And talk to us by using this earthen vessel that is somewhat cracked and old and dusty. So, Lord, I ask that you open my mind, my heart to you as you speak to your people, and that you open their hearts and minds to listen to what you have to say. So, Lord, we come to you. We pray this prayer with excitement and anticipation of what you're going to teach us. And all God's people said, amen. I don't know about you, but I love this Haggai series. It's a series telling the nation of Israel, I want to be with you. I want you to build my house. It started with the first part in which God says, you know, it's time for you to keep your focus off your own house and build a place for me. And that whatever fears you have, don't worry about it, because I will be there. Be strong, be courageous. Whatever comes against you will be nothing, because I will be there for you. We go on to read that they were somewhat frustrated. They thought they would never, ever bring the temple back to the full majesty it once was, the full glory that it once was with silver and gold. And again, God said to them, you know, you have me. What more do you want? And I control all the silver and all the gold on earth. So continue to build my house, because I want to dwell with you. Then we got to the place in which they started rebuilding the temple, but there were problems with their holiness, and that there were problems in their lives. And God was saying, you know, don't bring your unholiness into my house. It hurts our relationship. We can't talk anymore. It's time for you to be holy. And when you are holy, what God said to them, from this date that you became holy, from this date in which you started building my house, from this date in which your heart has changed towards me, there will be blessings in it. And I just love it when he says, there will be blessings in it. So go out and plant so that you can see the blessings. And he marked the date. He said, from this date, the date you started the foundation, the date we started bringing Christ into our hearts and minds, from that date forward, mark it so that you know the difference, so that you know the life before Christ and the life after Christ, or in this case, the life before God and before you building the temple, and the life after you built the foundation and you built the temple. That's a whole book of Haggai. And he says that to all the people. And it's this point in which he had to talk to the leader, and that is Zerubbabel, who was the governor of the province of Judah that was controlled by the Persians. And this is where we come to our part of the message, in which he talks to Zerubbabel, who, by the way, was from the Davidic line, which means who, by the way, should have been on the throne as king of Israel. This is a point which he could have been very discouraged, and it's also the point that it was important for God to talk to Zerubbabel, words of encouragement and words of a destiny. I like that, don't you? Don't you like to have words of encouragement and words of a destiny? Okay, well, let's get into that. I have some points here, and let's kind of unpack these verses as we see how God encourages Zerubbabel. Number one, what God said to him, like he said to the nation, mark this day again. Mark the day that Zerubbabel, that you started building his kingdom, that you started building this temple. Mark this day. Haggai 2:20 says this: the word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that. Okay? He was saying one more time. He said to the people, mark this day, December 18th, 520 B.C. Mark this day. And then on that same day, he talks to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, who oversaw the building of the temple. And what he's saying to him, mark this day. This is important. This is important. Mark this day, because you're leading a nation back to its greatness. Mark this day. It was kind of interesting, because he could have said, tell Zerubbabel, but no. He said, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. So he didn't want any confusion here. He said, so God said to Haggai, to Tal Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, so there's no question who he's talking about. Tell him. And so, so God is very specific in the current status. Zerubbabel, who should have been king. Zerubbabel that was just a governor under the thumb of the Persians. But you can probably understand what he was going through. He was probably discouraged. He was probably depressed. You know, it took 16 to 18 years to bring them back to start building the temple. They were, you know, they had come back from Babylon. They were released from their captivity. And it still took them 16 to 18 years. You could only imagine how excited he was that first year back, saying, "Yes, we have the honor and the privilege of building this temple. Come on, guys, let's do it." And then discouragement came in. Lack of interest from the people. People not showing up. People worried about their own livelihood. People worrying about their own houses and not the house of God. The task must have seemed pretty overwhelming. Like I said, even the people were complaining, "We would never restore this temple to the way it once was under Solomon with all its curtains and all its gold and all its silver." And maybe Zerubbabel was feeling that depression too. Maybe it was hitting him, saying, I have no control anymore. These people, your people, you got to talk to them because I can't. And I've tried. And this temple still is in ruins. And their lives are still in ruins. Because they're not making room for God. They're not building His house. And they're not building His house physically. They're also not building His house spiritually. Not building His house right here for God to reside. But then God reminds their bubble that He is in control of things, because this is what He says: "I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother." So He reminds their bubble, guess what? I'm in control. I'm in total control. And someday, maybe someday soon, maybe someday in the future, maybe both, God says, "I will shake the heavens and earth. And I will overturn thrones. And I will shatter powers of kingdoms. And I will overthrow chariots and their drivers." You can identify with that. At one time, Germany was an enemy. We had a war there. In Japan, we had a war there. And through God's grace, we won those wars. Russia used to be a major power that we were afraid of. How many here remember that time, the Cold War, and being fearful of Russia? Now China probably owns our economy. Isn't it interesting? And we're always fretting about kings and kingdoms. But when we read this, we know they'll all pass away. But there's something about God. There's something about that name. I love that song. There's something about God. And this is the encouragement from God that He'll take care of business. You just do what you're supposed to do, and God will take care of the rest. He is that powerful. How many people think that God is that powerful? Yeah. We fret and we fret and we fret and we neglect the power of God, don't we? Don't we? But He will take care of business. And some believe that maybe this was end time prophecy with Christ's final return. And that's what God's talking about. And that Zerubbabel will play a part in that somehow. Play a part in that. But others believe that Israel will continue to remain intact regardless of the kings and kingdoms surrounding it, and that by building a temple, Zerubbabel rekindles the Masonic hope. By building the temple, he rekindles that the Messiah will come. By building that temple, he has a place, a house for God, and an understanding that someday a Messiah will come and take them away from all their enemies and take them away from all their problems. Others believe that Israel will continue to remain intact regardless of the kings and kingdoms surrounding it. Kind of interesting. Is Israel intact? And when was this written? 520 BC. Is Israel intact? Interesting. He rekindled, their Bible was used to rekindle the hope of Messiah. And then three, which I think the great encouragement, God makes their Bible his signet ring. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. On that day, there will come a time. Say that, there will come a time. There will come a time. Not sure now, not sure in the future, but God will make him like his signet ring. And says, I have chosen you. Isn't that great? I have chosen you. What a wonderful word of encouragement. That God would choose him as his signet ring. Of course, you say, well, what does that mean? Commentary tells me that a signet ring was very precious to a king. He wore it on his finger or wore it around his neck because it was used as an endorsement of very important documents. And its impression was a seal of approval by the king. Seal of approval. That's how important the signet ring was. Have anybody watched the old shows of the old English kings and knights? They would have signet rings. And what would they do to seal an envelope? Stick it in wax, put it on the envelope. It was a seal saying it came from the king and that it was important and had the king's endorsement. Pastor Greg Abey says this, God's signet ring means that God was granting his authority and power to the bearer of the ring. A signet ring gives the individual carrying the ring the same authority as the king. Do I hear an amen on that? The same authority, that ring. That ring, the same authority. That ring might not seem much to most people. That ring was power and authority straight from God. So now Zerubbabel will have God's signet ring returned to his generation because his grandfather had lost it. His grandfather that had separated himself from God. His grandfather that has allowed sin to come into the temple. His grandfather that allowed the Babylonians to take away the temple, to take away the people. Isn't that interesting that the ring was taken away from his bloodline? And isn't it wonderful that it's restored one more time to Zerubbabel because he was faithful to rebuild God's church, both physically and both in spiritually in people's hearts? How do we apply this? I mean, really, what does this mean to us? It's just an Old Testament story. It's nice, and it makes a lot of sense. But how do we apply it? Well, it's simple. Because there's times in your life that you have to mark the day that you totally gave your life to Christ. When Linda gave her life to Christ, things started changing. It became all about him. And not all about other relationships. Because she knew that if you get that relationship right, if you get that relationship right, there are blessings in it. There are promises in it. And it satisfies you alone. It satisfies you alone. He wants to give us a signet ring too. And as we totally turn our lives to Christ, remember the day that this has happened. We get discouraged. How many here get discouraged with church and churches? Oh, come on. Come on. Let's be honest. We just get discouraged many times, overwhelmed by hopelessness. And we easily lose faith in God and doubt God's control over all situations, especially in today's culture. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. But today, he's telling us, listen to me, says God. Listen to me. I will start using you to make an impression on others. That's what he's saying. Don't be drawn by the world and its cultures. Because today's the day. Mark this day. I said last week, mark May 29th. Mark that day. When we talk about rebuilding the church, when we talk about making room in our hearts for God, that's the day in which he will use you to make an impression. Number two, understand that he is in control of your life. Christian Chong says this, God wants us to put our trust back on him. Many things are beyond our ability to control. The one thing we do control is our response to God in the midst of them. That's what we control, our response to God. Write that down. If you got a pencil, you got notes, write that down. That's the only thing we control, our response to God. God will shake our world. He has. God will overturn situations. He does. God will overthrow oppositions. He has. And he will take down strongholds in our lives. He will. He will. He is in control. And he keeps his promises. That's what I love about my God. He keeps his promises. And he talks to us in letters. He talks to us with neon signs. He talks to us through other people. Because he wants to keep his promises to you. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a promise. Never leave us nor forsake us. And if you're available to give your whole life over to him, he will be there for you. If you just build a home for him. If you just let him in. Today's society, God's great, but he's outside our whole lives. Someday he might be in. We'll add him on Sunday. But the other 6 days, I got my own stuff to do, God. And then we wonder why there's consequences. How come every time there's a consequence of something we do stupid, we blame it on God? When all he wants is the best for all of us. All he wants is the best of all of us. More than anything, though, he wants you to preserve and be a seal of his authority and power. He wants you to put his ring on your finger and for you to walk in his power and authority. You can walk in his power and authority. You can make a lasting impression of Christ wherever you go. You can leave an impression. You can leave an impression wherever you go. And he wants us to build his church here and in here. That's what he wants. And like it or not, once we give our lives to Christ, we are chosen to bear the signet ring. Chosen to bear the signet ring. Many of you are chosen to bear the signet ring. Some of you have graduated. You're chosen to bear the signet ring. This is yours to make an impact on people's lives. It's yours. And Cody, it's yours. What impact does Zerubbabel have to the nation? Well, let's talk about it forward and backwards. The son of Mattai, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse. It goes on and on. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Was the father of yada, yada, yada. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of
Jesus,
who is called the Messiah. Let's do this backwards. We did it forward, let's do it backwards on the next slide. Is that it? there it went. Now listen to this. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthai, yada, 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 the son of Nagai, the son of Matthai, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joanan, the son of Risa, and the son of... Finally, the son of Mattathai, the son of Nathan, the son of David. Pretty amazing. So what impact does our bubble have that was eternal? It was the bloodline of David, which was the bloodline of Jesus himself. Listen, saints, God has chosen us specifically to impact the world for Christ. He has given us the power, get this, he has given us the power and the authority to talk for him by virtue of being his signet ring. That's what he's given us. And the question is, are you ready and are you prepared to take it on? Have you started building the house of the Lord in your hearts so that he may finally reside in your heart each and every day so that you have something to proclaim? And maybe, just maybe, today, mark this day, is a day that you realize that you are chosen to make the impression of Christ on everyone that you may contact. That you make contact with. And with that, let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of Haggai, one of the lesser known prophets that's hidden in the back of the Old Testament. I thank you for the teachings. I thank you, Lord, that you have promised that as we build a home for you in our hearts, that you will be there, that you want to be there, and you want to sit with us. And you want to use us mightily for the kingdom. Lord, I don't know about being a signet ring. Sometimes I don't feel worthy. I'm sure many times this congregation doesn't feel worthy. But I must say this. If you're choosing us, I'm going to go. And I hope the whole congregation goes with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for Zerubbabel's in this world that through discouragement and all, he just kept on persevering and he got that house built for you. And he got a nation built for you. A nation that was waiting for the Messiah that was coming from his line, his bloodline, the Davidic bloodline. The Heavenly Father, we just come before you. I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, maybe today it is. Maybe today's the day. The gospel message is that Christ was sent from his Father God to die on the cross for us to take away our sins and offer forgiveness. Now, he has saved us from the damnation we probably deserve. Maybe today you want to make it right. Maybe today you want to be his signet ring. Maybe today you want to turn from the past and have a new future with him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's anybody here that does not know Christ. Maybe today's the day you take him into your heart. That you say, God, I'm so sorry for my past and I want to lead a new life with you. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. As my Lord and Savior, not just lip service, but to wear your ring. So with every eye closed, every eye closed and every head bowed, I'm going to ask whether anybody prayed that prayer today. And if so, I ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Hand up and right back down. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we thank you so much on how you teach us through your word. Help us always be ever mindful that you've chosen us and that you want us to make an impression on this church, on this community, on the surrounding area, on the UP, on the state of Michigan, on the nation, and on the world. So we come to you, making ourselves available. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, and our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen.